Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Road to Recovery Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Mark and I'm an alcoholic. Would everyone please switch off their mobile phones or switch them to silent profile, and please try to keep disruptions to a minimum. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other, that they may solve a common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses or opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help others to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. In support of various singleness of purpose, we respectfully ask that sharing be confined to alcoholics, and when discussing our problems, we confine ourselves to those problems as they relate to alcoholism. There may be visitors here who are unfamiliar with our tradition of anonymity. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio and television. This tradition is a constant reminder that personal ambition has no place in AA. We are sure that anonymity is the greatest safeguard AA can ever have. We therefore seek your cooperation protecting anonymity of our members at the public level. The format of tonight's meeting will be 3 10-minute speakers followed by a fourth speaker until approximately 8:30. The meeting will then be open to the floor and closed at 9 o'clock. Can we please have a moment's silence to remember tradition 5? Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic that still suffers. Thank you to the first three speakers. I would now like to introduce our final speaker, Dan.
Even though I'm Dan, I'm an alcoholic. Cracking to be here, cracking free shares, all three of you. I feel pumped to be here, Gav, that was amazing. I think me and you have shared together more than anyone I can think of, mate. You know, it's like every time I'm down, even though we don't live here anymore, we seem to be here up sharing together, and that goes back a long time. And, you 12 stepped me into this meeting originally when I was in a treatment centre. So, nearly 11 years, 5 stones, 1 marriage, 2 kids ago, do you know what I mean? And I mean 5 stones, I was quite a skinny guy back then, recovery's obviously done well in a lot of ways. And I identify with the three of you. I'm, a hopeless alcoholic like you guys are. As, most of the people, all the people I know here also identify with that. And the ones I don't know, hopefully you either will or won't identify with that and decide to, either embark on this and grab it with both hands or not, and that's, down to you and how you feel about it. And, as Gav said, if it is the beginning of this for you and it is your first meeting or just the beginning of the journey, as it were, and it might be your 10th meeting, but you're still, unsure, I'll second what he said. This is absolute, gold. For someone like me, to be standing here and having looked upon a second life, absolute second life, after having a first life that was I was also a very low bottom, drunk that, I never hid my drinking or anything like that, or I never lost anything in life, it's a bit of a weird thing to say, I was a low bottom drunk that never hid my drinking and never lost anything. Because I didn't build up a meaningful relationship or any sort of job or, anything of decent value, I didn't have anything to lose. I say that, I lost, friends and family, but that was temporary. I've got them back now, do you know what I mean? But, I didn't build up the stuff. Some alcoholics in here, they come in and they've got a, they're ticking on with their life, holding on by the thread, as it were. And they can sit in the same table as alcoholics that, like me and Gav, do you know what I mean? Come in with a bin bag, man, do you know what I mean? Full of rubbish just not rubbish, but clothes, like, you know, and in a treatment centre, like, you know, don't actually come round with a bin bag of rubbish to Plymouth, right? But you know, what was in that bag did end up in the rubbish quite quick, like, because I went down to Primark and replaced it fairly sharpish, like, you know. But I went in my first AA meeting when I was 18, like, you know, under a bit of family duress and that, because I'd already done a 3-year jail sentence, and I'd already caused a lot of, like, problems, and I was already very clearly, like, unmanageable and all that, you know. It was well clear. I was getting nicked all the time. I was chaotic. You know, I was in a mental institution at the time, and, you know, friends of my mum's had been to, well, still, they're old-timers now, do you know what I mean? But, you know, they're old, you know, older people and that, and, you know, they've been to AA, like, and, you know, so when I say they're friends of mum's, they're in their 70s, so they, you know, they were, you know, but they've been to AA and they still go, and, but they, you know, they, I remember my mum and this guy telling me, you know, I should go, like, you know, I should go to AA, because, you know, just to see what it's about. He didn't say, like, you know, you're an alcoholic, right? But he said, you know, well, you're clearly in trouble here, like, you know, because that's the truth. I was clearly in trouble. So I went to my first meeting in London, and I found the youngest, you know, prettiest girl to go and sit next to. Like, you know, I'd had a couple and a smoke beforehand, so I was fairly, like, kind of confident within myself. and I found the youngest, nicest girl to sit next to, and then he's, like, kind of, older sort of Cockney geezers come up and sort of, like, I suppose, like, you know, started to talk to me, so that, you know, I was away from, I was still sat next to her, but they come and all sat to me and talk to me, and you know, they started talking about their drinking, and they then started talking about abstinence, like, you know. So I literally said, oh, where's the other branch of AA, where's the other room, you know, where's it? There must be, like, levels, and where's the other level, like, you know? Cause the old abstinence level doesn't sound good, like, you know? I'll graduate to this level. Where's the, like, controlled and not getting nicked AA room, like, you know? They didn't have it. It wasn't there, like, and, you know, and they I remember, like, I sat through the main share, and, he, you know, he's very God-orientated. You know, this is a spiritual program, you know. We can, you know, believe in God, and I, you know, I've got a God of my understanding, and he was talking about God a lot, like, you know, and I didn't approve of that, like, or the abstinence room, and they didn't have the other tier, you know, so I left in the break, because they had breaks then, and left in the break, and I didn't get back for quite some years, you know, but it didn't give me a negative memory, like, you know, it didn't at all. They made me feel very welcome, like, you know. They tried to help. They talked about their drink, and they did the right things. And, you know, they were carrying the message, and the guy who did the share was carrying the message. You know, he talked about, you know, overcoming his alcoholism through a spiritual experience as a result of the 12 steps. You know, I don't remember that specific line, like, you know, but the gist of it, he was talking about God a lot, like, you know, and how he was better. That's what I remember. And I left, because I didn't approve of that, like, you know, and I carried on hitting it hard and doing what I was doing, you know, and I ended up in treatment. And Dawson talks about treatment being like the last throw of the dice, and that's, I suppose, how we saw it as well, like, you know. You know, I thought, yeah, if I'm going treatment, it's like, you know, they sent me to, like, the, you know, one of the best treatment centres in this country. You know, I think this is back in 2003, it was something like £2,000 a week or something like that, so it'd be a lot more now. And, you know, they sent me to this place for 6 weeks, and I did another 6 months in this other place. It was very expensive, and, you know, it was very good counselling. But, you know, I got to know myself and that, like, you know, and all that. But and I got in that, in the second one, I had to go to meetings, like, you know. So I went to 2 a week, because that was a minimum requirement. Rock up, you know, bang on time, you know, 7:30, beg your pardon. 6:30 is this place is on time. That place is, like, you know, well, you know, basically I wouldn't be early. I'd be bang on time, sit at the back, and, you know, carried on trying to sit next to pretty girls there, man, do you know what I mean? But the house was full anyway, so it wasn't a problem, like, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it was like, and I didn't approve, like, you know, but I didn't get a bad picture of AA. It just wasn't for me. I didn't approve. And, I, you know, I used to say, I remember myself sharing, and I was thinking back of other shares I do when I'm driving up, with, you know, the mind ticks on, and I used to say, you know, I didn't hear a message there, but that's not the case, like, you know what I mean? There were old timers there. There were people who had done 12 steps who were sponsoring other people there. There were people, and it might not be the message I hear in this room, like, you know what I mean? That pure message, like, but there was enough of it, like, you know, there were people working a program, you know, who have got a spiritual. It was enough of me to not approve about God again, do you know what I mean? Enough of me to not approve about the actions they were taking. And again, you know, it boiled down to I was not ready to be abstinent, like, you know. So I thought after, you know, a 7-month period of self-knowledge, of gym, of food, and I'd only put on 2 stone that time, like, you know what I mean? So it wasn't like the full, I wasn't fat, like, and I was only 23, you know, signed up for a course in London or something, always wanted to do, I was going to go back to London, do my course and get famous, you know what I mean? And yeah, it, you know, I got on the train home, I was like, well, you know, kind of, I know I'm going to have a drink at some point, so I might as well celebrate my graduation on this train, like, because you graduate from this place, like, you know what I mean? You graduate and you go and you hug everyone and you tell them I'm going to be all right. And, you know, I hadn't owned that I was going to, you know, that I was going to control it again, because I thought after that amount of time of self-knowledge and that, I would have agency over this, because, you know, I thought I'm quite a resolute sort of, you know, I don't know, like, you know, I thought I was quite a resolute, smart, I suppose tough, like, in a sort of internal way individual. I thought, I'd, you know, because I've been through so much at that age, like, do you know what I mean? In my head, nothing, you know, particularly special. I just, in my head, because I've been through so much and I've toughed it out and I'm well now, I thought, yeah, I'll have agency over drink now. I'll be able to take that drink now and I'll be able to, and even though going to meetings for 6 months, you know, I thought, nah, it's not for me. It's just not for me. And I took the drink on the train home, like, you know, I had money because, you know, I didn't spend any in treatment and, I had money, so I just had a few on the train. Like, well, I say a few. I had one, and then I kept going back and kept going back and kept going back. Then when I come out of Paddington, going to go home, I was like that. So I thought, I'll go, instead of going to home to Whitechapel, I'll go to the pub. So I went to the pub, and then I did make it back to Whitechapel because I was straight into the behaviours I left. And then that 2 stone went quickly, like, and my whole, and the college course never got attended, and I never got that missus that I was going to get, like, you know, and my poor mum, I don't think I turned up for about a day and a half, like, and I lost the mobile I had, and my poor mum, the amount of times that that's happened, you know, that I've meant to have gone back and I ain't turned up for a day and a half, 3 days a week, and, you know, my mum said to me recently, like, the last couple of years, you know, we talk about, you know, we can talk about in a jest, we can talk about the days of my drinking and using drugs in the jest that we talk about here, like with my mum. We've got to that point now. So we can talk about it very openly. And she, you know, kind of, she said to me the other day, we're just talking about it, and she's reminding me of a time a police car had come up to my flat where I was, and I'd taken unkindly to it, and I was jumping up and down on it, and I had a slab, and I was trying to fill the roof in, like, you know. She'd reminded me of that. And I sort of, like, knew it was happened, but I'd forgotten, like, as it were. Like, you know, you forget things that you know that happened. And I'd forgotten that. And she said, you know, you're just, like, so, you know, uncontrollable for anyone to control, like, you know. And she was, the thing she said after that, we got talking more. And you know, she just opened up and said, like, you know, the worst thing I ever had was, like, I was constantly waiting for them to come and tell me you're dead. Nah, you know. That one, she meant it, you know. She, you know, that. I just said, I'm so sorry, like, you know, I'm so sorry, like, you know, that was the case. Like, you know, she said she spent about 8 years in that state, and God, man, do you know what I mean? The amends that I've done will never be enough, really. Like, but I can only do what I can, and she's forgiven me wholeheartedly. We have a fantastic relationship, you know. She's moving. I'm building a house in my garden so my mum can leave East London and come and live with us, like, you know. And we're all happy about that, my family and my mum and, you know, my wider family and stuff. And, you know, I've managed to restore, you know, those sort of things. But just, you know, to hear those words, you know, even writing it down in step 9, the stuff I've done. So I'd never comprehended that was a thing, like, you know, because I'm still a selfish alcoholic, even having done step 4 and step 9. I'd never thought my mum was worried I was going to die for like 8 years, to the point where she was worrying that the police would come, you know, for a good long while, that would be the case. Like, and for her to hear that, you know, it was good for me, you know, it's growth. But, you know, it didn't feel great. It was not going to, it was upsetting. But, you know, not in a way of like self-pity, just in a way of, you know, a human being should be upset, I feel, if they hear that from their mother, like, do you know what I mean? Yeah, you know, I go off on tangents, that's how I share, so, you know, apologies. You know, I love what the three guys said, and, you know, one thing for me that stands out with this is drinking wasn't like, you know, kind of, you know, it was very problematic, my drinking. But, you know, I was also a champion drinker, mate, do you know what I mean? I was like putting it away young and hard, like, you know. The only people that I feel would really keep up are either in here or in the pubs early in the morning or the street, do you know what I mean? That's the, you know, I was a solid drinker, like, you know. I was like, that was my thing, you know. Like I said, I didn't hide it. Everyone knew that that was my thing, you know. Very problematic, though. It wasn't that, you know, drinking wasn't problematic for me. I was a champion drinker, but the point is I used that to fix myself without even knowing it. You know, I didn't have the retrospect at like a young age to think, you know what, I'm getting drunk every single day and going out thieving to get drunk and going out off and be nut and get drunk. I didn't have the like the foresight to go, because I feel really bad about myself and my place in the world and my perspective and how other people see me, like, you know. And that's what it was. I can see that now, you know. I can see that, you know, I drank to fix the problem with me. My alcoholism is me. It's not like, it's not for me, like, it's all me. So it's still there, like, do you know what I mean? But, you know, I've only found two ways of coping with life. So I drank to cope, but I drank to excess to cope, like, and, you know, lots of consequences within that excess. That's the first way I've coped with my first life, you know, the life up until 27. And the other way was a way that I didn't approve of even when I started, you know what I mean? I told everyone I approved, but I didn't approve, like, you know what I mean? But I was desperate enough to crack on in, like, you know? And that's the difference, like, you know? When I got given these suggestions, hocus pocus, mumbo jumbo, you know, atheist, bruv, like, do you know what I mean? Like, you know, not even that, like, do you know what I mean? I just, like, you know, I don't want to be told what to do. I don't want to hit my knees and, you know, I remember when I come here, I was in treatment again, like, you know, so it wasn't the first, you know, it wasn't the last roll of the dice, I suppose, you know, here's been the last roll of the dice, but I was in treatment again down in Plymouth, and Gav came and visited one day, and he just come in, like, do you know what I mean, and me and him had a talk, and he told me about a meeting that was in the same premises, like, randomly, like, well, roughly, like, you know, sort of, there was a garden that split where the Tuesday night meeting was there for a bit, and I went, and as I was talking about those levels of AA, I was like, fuck me, this is special branch or something, like, do you know what I mean, like, you know, it's like, I think I met Arash, he was 7 years, and John Effie was 12 or 13 at the time, and they were the first two after Gav I'd met, like, do you know what I mean, I was like, cool, it had a different vibe than I'd experienced prior to that, and I just kind of kept coming, like, you know, I mean, Mark used to bring me down a lot, and I kept coming while I was in treatment, and I used to try and get all the other guys in treatment to come, and it was a fun time, you know, but even though I liked it and I liked people and I liked the stories, my approval level hadn't really gone up much, like, you know what I mean, I'll be honest, my approval for what my perception of the program was, like, you know, the God stuff, the helping others, all that sort of stuff, it sounded great, but you know, and I liked being here, in a sense, even though it was quite scary at the same time, because of my self-centred fear. There's a lot of people, like, you know, I don't know the phobia, but I felt I didn't like a lot of people in a small space, and this had it, so I felt a bit overwhelmed, but also people were kind to me, and they used to phone me up, and that meant hell of a lot, like, you know, because no one else phoned me up apart from me mum, like, you know, which was, she phoned me up through gritted teeth, just to see if I still, are you still in the treatment centre? Yes, mum. Good. All right, bye then. Kind of thing. That was like how we got, like, you know, just to make sure. I was like, are you still in Plymouth? Yeah. Yes, mum. All right. And so, yeah, I kind of kept going. And then it's sort of, you know, I suppose I started, you know, not the approval level as such, but just my open-mindedness started opening. I think I heard people say, be open-minded, like, you know, look at, you know, I just heard people say, you know, and I can't, this isn't quoting directly, but like the essence of the quotes, and just like look at your life and how it was, like, and you know, I heard people talk about how their life was like mine and how they felt sober like me, like, and how they felt better with drink, but it caused a lot more problems and was a lot worse, and I just, the identification started happening. And we started having fun as well. We got invited to paintball and stuff, man. Do you know what I mean? And that meant a lot as well, because I'd always wanted to do that. And that, you know, little things, and like invited to coffees and stuff. And people seemed to like take an interest in me, which, you know, really helped me at that time, because I did not take an interest in myself, really. Like, you know, I just thought I was on a break from my horrible circular out there existence that I had. Like, you know, that's what I thought it was, because that's what treatment had been before. I was out of ideas, and I remember when I got a sponsor, it's quite a funny story, really. Like, it might not be funny to anyone else, but it amuses me anyway. So I bought a lad, new lad, like, bastard, from the treatment centre, and I thought the rule was here that if you're in treatment, you can't get a sponsor. That was my, someone had said that, so that had stuck. So I was coming towards the end of my treatment, I knew I was going to ask my sponsor today, Welshnet, who's like my brother, man, do you know what I mean? Loved the guy, and he's been there for me for years. But I knew I was going to ask Nick, because I really identified with him, with, you know, similar, I don't know what, you know, when you like a sponsor, you just want, it's like asking a girl out, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? You know you like them. You know you like them, do you know what I mean? You know you like them, and you want to ask them. And I had that. And then this cheeky, like, new guy who's like, just fresh off the boat in a treatment centre. Being in mind, I was an old timer there for 4 months. Do you know what I mean? cheeky guy. Like, come. I think he even asked Nick. Like, do you know what I mean? I was so resentful with that. He asked Nick on the first night he come here. Like, you know what I mean? And then I asked Nick straight after. I was like, oh yeah, because I was going to ask you to sponsor me as well. Like, you know. And Nick, you know, says yeah, it'd be a privilege, and he gave me some suggestions to do. And to cut a long story short, I went back to London, had a drink for the last time, because I hadn't been really doing the suggestions. And at that stage, I had a conversation with a man, and he said, like, you've got to do this like your life depends on it, or else you won't really get much out of it. Like, you know, you'll get what you've got previously. Don't do it on your own ideas. You know, just do it and be honest with the treatment centre. I'll come back. And you know, I ain't drank since, and I ain't wanted to. And, I've managed to live a life, as I say, a second life. Like, you know, I've managed to live a life that's fulfilled, and my, you know, any expectations I've had, I've shattered. Like, do you know what I mean? And it's not to big myself up. Like, you know, and my family, like, saying, "Oh, you know, you're doing so well. You're starting to be successful now." And I was like, I don't want to get into a philosophical bloody debate here, but I wouldn't be doing anything if it wasn't for this stuff. Like, so don't debate it with them. When my ego likes it, I'm like, cheers, like that, do you know what I mean? I'm doing all right. But, you know, at the end of the day, I know, and they think I go to A to help people. I'm the bloody patient, and I don't get into that debate with them either, do you know what I mean? I'm the bloody patient, whatever happens here, like, you know. Gavin said it, man, if you're new and you're not sure, give it your all here, give it a good go. The pubs ain't, dealers ain't going anywhere, neither of them, right? Give it a good go, is, you know, hard. And I reckon you'd be all right, like, you know. And the dealers and pubs aren't going anywhere if you don't like it after giving it a good go hard. But really, you know, give it a good go hard. Cheers.